I'm looking at one of these relationship checklists.
Oh my God.
Do you agree with this statement? My partner never tries to control what I wear, where I go, or what I do. Holy shit, this is depressing.
Don't be so angry, honey. Don't you be so sad. Don't be so angry, honey. Things can't be all that bad.
All women are bitches. I'm so unprepared for this.
Oh, you blow.
I know.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, Kayla. This is Shiori.
Hey!
Hi, Shiori.
Hi!
Shiori, this is Kayla.
Oh, you're so good with introductions.
I know, right? I went to school for that.
So, Kayla, did you take any notes at all? Because, I didn't really.
I didn't at all.
Oh my God, you guys are the worst.
Oh, look, I tried for like 100 pages, and then I just... I'm still so angry that you made me read this.
Dude, this is 100% your fault. You brought it on yourself.
Yeah, you say that about everything.
Well,
it's true, but you
true?
Shouldn't say it. But I'm actually going through, like, Goodreads reviews, and I don't think our opinion is going to be in the majority. Whatever, man. There are so many GIFs, too. Oh, my gosh. And it's like, oh, I was, you know, all these people going, oh, I was so excited for this book. And it delivered!
I was so excited when I heard the entire plot was going to be bitches.
So, Kayla, what did you feel about the book in general?
Well, another freaking mercy book.
I know, right? And it was like, I mean, I only read to book 4. I'll straight up say that. I only read to book 4 before this one. It was even at that point, it was getting like sort of same old.
Yeah.
And then this one, it was just like, well, I guess I haven't missed a whole lot except they're married now.
Basically.
But even that sort of didn't matter because it was like, oh, that Christie, what a bitch, every page. Every page.
Well, I mean, full disclosure, we didn't read Frostburn either. Did you, Kayla?
No.
Yeah, see, we skipped
see
that one.
We've probably missed the best book ever.
Oh, I'm sure.
We actually missed one because I swear to God, it just, like, keeps going.
Yeah, there was a one book between Rivermarked and this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly just kind of resolved to give up on the series until, you know, I found out it was going to be about bitches. And then I was like, well, I'm totally reading that.
You're up for bitches. Isn't it? Is she contracted for one more book? I think it was.
She's got the short stories coming out.
Yeah,
and then,
in
yeah.
addition to the short stories. I thought she had just the one.
Which one's this? Eight?
Eight, yeah.
It's under 10. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember if it included her shitty short stories.
Fingers crossed she just gives up after this.
Oh, well, they announced that the next one in that other, the Alpha and Omega series, is going to be in 2015?
God damn.
But then that means there's no mercy till 2016.
Huh.
Well, see, like, here's the thing I found reading it. It was just, like, absolutely everything has been done better by someone else at this point. It's like, maybe Briggs was exciting when the first book came out. I mean, I did read it when it first came out, but that's years ago, so I can't remember if the hype was there. But it's like, if I wanted to find this, I could find it anywhere else, and it wouldn't take 400 pages to say nothing about any of it.
Yeah, she's just completely given up on having plots, just in general. Like, it's been a long time since we've read the first one, but I swear to God, I don't remember this amount of nothing.
Padding. It was just, yeah, it was, oh my God, so much padding.
The thing that kept going through my head is, how many times does she have to write about this damn walking stick? For like...
I'm like, oh my God, I know. I should have been highlighting every time it was mentioned.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And I'm just reading someone's review. Nightbroken is another action-packed, fantasy-driven installment.
Action-packed my fucking dick. They don't do anything.
I know. I remember, like, messaging you going, like, I don't know. Why am I still reading this? It just keeps going and nothing's happening.
Well, the entire, like, middle spread is just this desert of nothing happening except Mercy and Christy being angry at each other. Like,
this is what we're talking about before. Kayla, can you remember what happens in the middle of the book? Because I can't. I remember the beginning and I remember at the end. In the middle, after the vampires, I'm just like, vampires? Is this that plot from like 50 books ago? And it was.
Well, no, even the vampire thing was towards the end of the book. Like, there's this, the middle gap, like, I honestly...
Oh, no, yeah, no, you're right. That's the vampires when I actually started paying attention again. Just kept going. And then it'd be like, oh, here's what Christy and Mercy are wearing and how Christy's all curvy and sexy. And Mercy, you know, she's like in a Shakira song or something and we're meant to feel terrible for her because Christy's such a horrible person because she's attractive and abused.
Yeah, like, here's what Christy is making for dinner. Apparently it is in some way passive-aggressive.
BLTs! I can't believe they lost their shit over BLTs. What?
Gourmet BLTs. Fuck you. That mayonnaise was homemade. Okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah, she probably just sat some eggs out in the sun. You wouldn't know. They're wolves.
Right. Like, they're so enamored of her cooking, but she literally, like, feeds them back their own vomit, and they think it's just the best thing
they
ever.
They just wag their tails.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious. I would read that.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
No, these are serious werewolves.
I know, we can't even get a book where plot happens.
No, so she did that thing again where she divided up the plot. So you've got, like, the whole Juan Flores thing, which is, like, the most fake-sounding name ever. And, fucking, what was the B plot for this one? Oh, the walking stick. That's right, walking the fucking stick. Walking stick.
But every time you thought she'd drop that plot, someone would go, oh, something about this walking stick, and you'd be like, oh, well, here we fucking go again.
No, she'd like, open her door and trip over the walking stick. Like, walking oh, yeah, stick. That fucking thing.
Oh, the walking stick. You just think, going, really, really? It's like a really bad sitcom.
It's the walking stick.
Who left the walking stick here? Wow.
The walking stick is like the Mercy Thompson meme. It just keeps coming back.
I know. It's the go-to plot. Here we go.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is.
And I still don't really even know what its fucking power is. Like, it changes recently.
Yeah.
Like, Coyote told her it did, like, three different things. He's like, or maybe it does all of them. I don't know. Fuck it.
I don't know. I'm a god. Fucking later.
Yeah.
I like that Briggs can't even decide what her own fucking universe does. Like, you had one job!
It's like, whatever, man. It does what the plot requires of it.
That's exactly.
I don't think it would be as annoying if there was an actual plot in this book, though.
Well, I mean, the whole walking stick thing is really, seriously just there to pad. Because the Juan Flores thing is resolved in, like, a grand total of, what, two chapters? They find out about him, they fucking fight him at the end, and then in between there are bits and pieces where they fucking info dump about him. Ah, oh, it's just so poorly structured, dude. Like, nothing fucking happens.
Yeah, you can really tell this is padding to whatever happens in the next book. It just sounds so phoned in. I mean, the others I've read where it's been, yeah, this is filler, but it's kind of enjoyable. It's like usually telling a story that the author has wanted to tell, mm-hmm. but it couldn't fit into the big scheme of things. So after, you know, one villain is defeated, there's a little bit of padding. And you go, well, this book's kind of crap, but, you know, it's a bit of fun. You know, it's in the same structure as the rest of the series. With Briggs, it's just like, I don't give a fuck. Whatever. I hate the ex-wife.
You can tell that's the central conceit here. The whole central conflict is meant to be Mercy is having to deal with Christy. And then Briggs was like, oh, yeah, I can bring her in and she can be a bitch and we can just be all angry at bitches the entire book. And then she's like, but how do I do that in an urban fantasy book? Volcano God!
Oh, remember when you first were like Volcano God, and I'm like, what? I'm not actually up to that part yet. And then when I got to it, it was even stupider.
But yeah, so it was all about the bitches, and the whole Juan Flores thing was just there to fucking support Mercy having to deal with Christy. That was literally, like, you could tell that was all Briggs gave a shit about.
It wasn't really subtle by the end, or at all.
Oh my god, can we talk about what a fucking ridiculous caricature of a human being Christy was? Because that was fucking ridiculous.
I can't decide who is worse, Christy or Mercy, in terms of their ridiculous characterization that no human in any form of existence would ever behave like. I mean, everything Christy did was absurd, but Mercy's reactions, the ones that were meant to make us obviously side with her, just made me go, what the fuck? Because she was a Mary Sue, basically. She was so perfect in her, I'm not going to get too upset, but I'm just going to, grit my teeth and hate you, Christy.
Oh my god, that's such bullshit, though, because, the entire first half of the book, I don't think Christy ever does anything outwardly intrusive. No,
she's had her head smacked in.
No, that was obviously just a ploy for sympathy.
Well, she definitely has the sympathy on her side because she was lucky enough to be beaten by a man.
I cannot believe they said that. I cannot, dude. What the fuck?
What was that exact quote? Because that quote was, I lost my shit at that quote.
No, I've got it here.
I know you
too. Oh my god, where the fuck is it?
No, I'm just reading the part where Mercy's like, meh, Adam paid all her bills. Adam does everything for her. She's so horrible.
Does he pay her bills? I totally get the jealousy part because, who wants their husband's ex-wife living with them?
No one ever.
Taking care of him and everything. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get why he's paying her bills and everything.
And the whole relationship is very strange.
It's because she's meant to be this horrible fucking caricature. I mean, she's supposed to be the epitome of the horrible ex-wife that Mercy has to deal with, but the whole thing in her portrayal is Briggs' decision to write her that way. He could have had this woman who was just, I discovered that Adam was a controlling prick, so we divorced. Now I'm in trouble, and I know he's a werewolf.
That is what happened, but Mercy steps in and is like, oh, she's obviously a psychotic bitch because Adam's controlling because he loves me.
That's the whole thing, though, because that's not what happened. From an outsider's perspective, that is totally a legitimate possibility. But from the perspective that we're meant to see it through, it's not. What was the thing that Mercy said happened? She said that she got insecure because she was aging and Adam was not.
Yeah, her mother had told Adam he scared her, that the werewolf scared her, and that he smothered her. But I'd always thought that the real trouble between them had a lot to do with Adam's looking younger than she did, which made her attraction to a younger man something to keep in mind.
Right, because we all know that Adam doesn't smother anybody. That is completely uncharacteristic for Adam.
But even the people who don't find Adam completely unsettling like us agree with us because yes, that's what they find appealing about him, the way he is basically one step off being a murderer. how controlling and smothering he is appealing.
Well, I mean, we were talking about before that Mercy is not allowed to go around men unclothed, despite her not being body conscious at all. She's not allowed to sleep naked, was it?
Because in case a
werewolf came over and saw her naked, but
then he would lose his shit. But she clothed herself to save him killing whoever came in.
Yeah, see? Yeah. So yeah. It's like a situation where, okay, it's totally normal for, your significant other not to want somebody else to see you naked. It's not normal for them to then kill that person.
Well, for you to have to go to such lengths to avoid a scenario in which someone
literally
might
label
accidentally
yourself.
See you naked in your own house in case of an emergency. What happens if the house catches fire one day? like emergency services roll up and Adam just eats them all.
I can totally see that. Like, it catches fire while Mercy's in the shower, so she has to run out in a towel, and Adam just fucking kills every single person who lays eyes on her.
And then he has to get on the fire truck and work the hose with these little wolf paws.
Yeah, I'm thinking a little too much about this, but...
But no, seriously, like she goes out to meet that fucking Faye dude wearing Adam's shirt that says Adam's name on it, specifically
because this book is subtle. This book is subtle.
Specifically so that everybody will know that she is Adam's property. Because if she does not do that, Adam will literally fucking kill people.
Literally get it tattooed on her forehead.
She basically, just save her the trouble, she can walk around naked as long as she has Adam's name tattooed on her forehead and probably her vagina.
Oh, well, Adam would have already killed anyone who got that close.
Right, there's a little tattoo on there that says, if you can see this, you are going to die.
It's funny, but it's so sad. It's not funny at all, but it is, but it isn't. It's a whole book.
I found that quote, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here we go. Don't worry, love. This was just round one, and she had the advantage with that shiner on the side of her face to garner sympathy. My money's on you. Yes, she had the advantage of having been beaten up by her boyfriend to garner sympathy. She had that incredible advantage. That's some MRA-level shit right there.
That really is. I'm expecting that to see it on a fucking Reddit thread.
Right. Women have the abused woman privilege, apparently.
Exactly. But this isn't like one scene in the book. It'd be one thing if it were one scene. Like, it would be bad if it happened in this one scene that it was total MRA shit for a page. Instead, it's total MRA shit for 99% of the book.
Well, no, this is total MRA shit, the series. I mean, seriously.
Oh, well, it is. Yeah, yeah. Well, we wouldn't have gotten to this point with her being married to Adam, the creepy control freak.
Right.
Who will literally devour a man if he comes anywhere near her.
No, Kayla, you remember how when we were talking about Rivermarked and how they got married, how the next step would be for them to, like, blow up her garage? So that she couldn't work anymore?
Yeah.
Hey, look what happened in this book.
Oh, holy shit.
That's horrible.
So, yeah, we've been jabbering a lot. What stood out for you, Kayla?
I can't get over the freaking walking stick being so... it really is. Like, I was like, how many times have you read about this fucking thing? And it's like, does it ever go away?
You're totally right. It's mentioned so much after about, is it like the halfway point or?
I don't know. I mean, it's the exactly. B-plot, so it comes up a lot.
But it just sort of goes overboard.
Yeah, oh, but this is the only book that it's, like, mentioned, you know, or even, like, a huge plot of it. It's like, didn't it pop up in, like, the second book or something? And it's been there the whole time. Like, it keeps coming up. And
I honestly don't remember the first book that it popped up in. I know it was around during Silverborn. I don't remember when it first started showing up. I remember she keeps trying to give it to people and it keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Like the end of this book, too. The very end of the book is, again, the walking stick.
Oh, you know what, too? I couldn't help but agree with Christy when she's like, why won't she just die? I was like, you know what? She almost died and hasn't. It's like, why won't she just die?
Because she's got fucking coyote pass, man. She's
got the plot.
She's the daughter of a god now.
Yeah, I love that. The very last page. I would have fallen if I hadn't grabbed the walking stick at the last minute.
And then I was like, oh, hey, how are you doing?
Hey.
And then the book fucking ends. Okay.
Yeah. I think I even texted you, Neen, and I was like, did we miss a chapter? Or I'm like, what the hell?
It ends mid-scene.
I do like that it ended with a nice little acknowledgement page, so I know who else I can blame for this book.
Oh, no, but, like, you were saying that thing about of Christy at the very end. Like, I finished this book, like, a month ago, so I read the last couple chapters again, like, yesterday, because I didn't remember a fucking thing. And I reread that part where Christy's, like, leaning in and saying, "Why won't you die?" And I just sat there for a minute, and I'm like, is she really saying that?
Then she twirled her mustache.
I know, dude. Mercy is laying there in a coma after having just defended her from the crazy god who was stalking her and, like, getting her out of harm's way. And she's in a coma. Like, she's laying there in a coma. And Christy leans over and says, "Why won't you just die?" Oh, my God. What kind of fucking cartoon did you fall out of?
No, and then the best part is that Christy was like, "I'm blue." Like, all the stuff that has happened in this book, and that's what she's focused on.
I know. That, the fact that she's focused on that she says that to Mercy, and then that everybody around her, or Jesse at least, doesn't react with, like, the kind of horror that you would expect. Like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you're saying this to a person who's in the hospital." They're just like, "Haha, that's funny." Like, what is wrong with you people?
Jesse literally says, "Mom!" She sounded appalled and amused.
Right? Like, that's not the appropriate reaction.
Like, if your reaction isn't horror, there is something wrong with you.
Like, if your reaction is not to, like, get her away from Mercy, just to be like, "Mom," and then wink at the camera or something. Like, what the fuck?
And then Jesse's all like, "Oh, wake up, Mercy. Like, oh, Dad needs you." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck. My mom's a bitch. Yeah. But she's gone to get coffee," or whatever she went to get. And then Jess was all like, "Oh, you need to wake up. My dad needs you," to Mercy. And I'm just like, "Oh, fucking, just die."
Like, why can't this series be over?
Wait, why did she have to survive a broken neck?
a broken neck and apparently, like, some wicked-ass burns. Although, like, Briggs forgot about that part.
Coyote made her hot again. It's all good. Shut up.
Oh my god, I know, right? Because remember when her brother walks up, he's like, "Oh man, you're like a steak, man. You're burned and fucked up." But then when they're describing her injuries afterwards, she's like, "Oh yeah, I got like a burn on my leg and a burn on my arm, but I'm totally fine." It's like, but he just called you like a walking pile of ash.
He only just said you were cooked like a fucking steak. This book. Oh, yeah. "Think I like Korra better than Aang." Yeah, of course you'd say that. Of course you'd say that.
No, the irony comes when she's like, "Oh, yeah, I like Korra better than Aang, because it's better to be able to go and do stuff than it is to sit back and wait for people to do stuff." And it's like, yeah. Didn't you spend, like, 4 books doing absolutely jack shit because your boyfriend told you not to? Yeah, I think I remember that.
Briggs has no insight into what she's written. This is dope. And of course she'd write that about Korra, even though the internet is just like, that is, why did you make that theory?
Actually the opposite of what happens in Korra, but whatever you say, Briggs. The, like, unfairly maligned Korra series.
Are you still going through your quotes?
Yes, I'm still going. There's so much shit in here, you guys. I don't even, like, there's so much stuff that's just, where Mercy, like, dresses Christy down in front of the entire wolf pack. Basically, like, "Oh, you slept with a stranger, so it's totally your fault that he went psychotic and decided that you were his reincarnated rape goddess. That is totally your fault, Christy, God."
Bitches, man. I'm flipping to random pages in this book, and I just flipped to this one. "He paid almost no attention to Adam and me. His eyes were fixed on the walking stick." walking stick. It goes between "Christy's a bitch" to "walking stick."
Yeah, just copy paste that in like 50 or 150,000 words and you've got a novel.
Yeah, somehow she managed to shit out nearly 400 pages. Ugh.
This is so fucking drawn out. Like, the vampire thing was following up on a plot line from, what was it, Bloodbound?
Bonecross, which was the last one,
five books ago. Like, that literally five books ago. Just now following up on it.
Clearly we're not sad enough to know everything about this series, or we would have remembered exactly what was going on.
Well, it's like Briggs was just like, shit, man, this isn't gonna fill up an entire book. Fuck, vampires, we haven't talked about them in a while, let's do that. Have we seen Stefan in a while? No? Okay, fuck it, bring him in too. Let's do this.
That's pretty much how she's written this, I'm sure. Like, I tied the whole pack to a vampire, I said numbly, and it's like, holy fuck, that happened literally years ago for me. I don't know. I mean, I guess some people would remember off the top of their head that happened, but she not even mentioned it from my memory in the subsequent books.
Not totally. She totally dropped it, because they supposedly had broken the bond.
Ugh. I just thought I was going crazy. I like this, that Adam and Stefan are when they're looking at each other, he and Adam stared at each other. Adam with near violence, and Stefan with patience. Like, Adam can't look at anyone without just wanting to kill them.
Adam is literally incapable of looking at people. Just period. Well, like when they meet the FBI people, and they're like, Adam can't look at them, because if he looks at them, he will kill them.
Kind of like, I guess he's like the Hulk, but if the Hulk was MRA.
Dude, he's got a hairier trigger than the fucking Hulk. I mean, seriously.
He really is angry all the fucking time.
Dude, and you know what? You know what, like, the biggest fucking, like, thing that the Hulk has to deal with? Being fucking angry all the time. Like, that's his problem that he has to overcome, but not Adam. No, it's totally cool, man.
No, Adam doesn't have to overcome anything. His insane jealousy is fine.
It's sexy.
You're so cute!
It's gotten more and more blatant. Like, you would think that over the course of the series, they would be working on Adam being less fucking psychotic. But instead, they're working on Mercy accommodating Adam's psychoticness.
Oh my god. It's gone. To where, like, she even thinks of things that, like, she has to go through holes to, like, figure out. If I do this, then this, and this will happen. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that is just, like, classic abuse victim behavior. Like,
she goes so far out of her way to not make Adam angry.
And as you were saying, Kayla, it's like she really does plan ahead. She has to think as far ahead as she possibly can to avoid all of these ridiculous scenarios that will result in him eating a guy's face or whatever.
Oh my god. I can't believe I forgot the whole fucking garage thing. Or Adam calls her and Tad answers the phone and Adam freaks out and, like, calls her, and he's like, why didn't you pick up the phone, Mercy? Why didn't you pick up the phone? What's going on? Like a fucking, like, crazy person. And then he watches her on his security camera that he installed in her garage.
And that is not unsettling at all.
No, that's not scary. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Adam. I got distracted. I'll go home right now, like a good little girl. It would be enough if she just went home and it wasn't a thing. But to justify Adam's paranoia and the measures that he's taken in surveilling Mercy, they have her get attacked. And the only reason that she survives is because Adam and Tad come rescue her. So, you know, it's a good thing that Adam keeps constant tabs on her. It's a good thing that he fucking watches her in her fucking garage. Because if he didn't, Mercy would be dead. So yeah. She just totally goes out of her way to fucking justify this fucking abusive behavior.
Because she's MRA, dude. I'm just reading, like, 200-odd mark when Mercy's talking to Mary Jo, and she's thinking about, oh, that Christy. Oh, Christy's saying it was, you know, she's being stalked or whatever because Adam was her ex-husband. And it's like, oh, no, it's not actually Adam's fault. How dare you, Christy? How dare you even mention Adam's your ex-husband? It's not his fault.
Then it's your fault. How dare you have consensual adult sex, you horrible person.
You slut. It's really what she's trying to say.
No, she flat out says she wants to say that, but she doesn't because Jesse's standing there.
She doesn't because she's the better person.
Yeah. I'm the better person who, like, dresses down a woman in front of her daughter. And, like, an entire group of people. Yeah.
Juan Flores isn't a werewolf, I said. God, the writing is so bad, too.
Here's this line. That vulnerability and the possessiveness meant that Adam would never let me leave him as he'd let Christy leave him. So she can't even voluntarily leave Adam now.
She can't even. This is like an episode of 2020. and then they go, like, with the family on a lead to find the body.
This is a fucking Anne Rule novel waiting to happen.
It is. I had no idea the werewolf beside me.
She's like, Mercy is just like leaving these records behind. She's like, if anything happens to me, make sure Anne Rule investigates the case.
So depressing.
So, like, seriously, if we were to, and I actually had planned on doing this, but, preparation. If we were to go through, like, the checklist of all of the warning signs that you're supposed to look for in an abusive relationship, Adam and Mercy would check, like, all of them.
Every single. Yep.
And it's really, like, depressing that we're still talking about this, because we've been talking about this for, like, 8 books now. And it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten progressively worse and progressively more excused on Mercy's behalf. Like, she doesn't even try to resist anymore. Like, there's this one scene with Stefan at the very end where they're waiting in the barn. And she's like, oh, I should be angry at Stefan because he bound me without my knowledge. And he didn't tell me about the consequences. And then she's like, but I don't even have the energy for self-righteous anger anymore. So, like, she knows she should be angry about it. Rational person would be angry about it, but Mercy's just like, he's a dude, he knows best, it's fine.
I love that she's had any sense of actual human life crushed out of her completely. Now she's just like, yes, master. I'm looking at one of these relationship checklists.
Oh my God.
Is your partner trusting and understanding? No. He's so trusting. I'm watching you on the video camera, Mercy.
Why haven't you called me?
Do you agree with this statement? My partner never tries to control what I wear, where I go, or what I do. Holy shit, this is depressing. Do you agree with this statement? My partner does not physically hurt me.
There's a line where Adam grabs her shoulder and she's like, he grabbed it almost hard enough to hurt me, but not quite.
It's just soft enough that I can justify it.
Just soft enough that the bruises will only last a day.
Like being beaten with a bag of oranges. My partner does not. Do you agree with this statement? My partner does not emotionally hurt me by calling me names, threatening me, or making me feel bad. Does your partner try to resolve arguments and conflict by talking honestly? No, because he's a wolf.
They can't talk honestly. They must bite everything.
Do you feel safe being with your partner? Nope.
He will safely keep anybody from touching her ever.
But if he hurts her, it's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
So that one is a yes, I guess, because he's protecting her from everyone else.
Way.
Does your partner respect your feelings, your opinions, and your friends? Nope. Does your partner accept you saying no to things you don't want to do? Nope.
No.
You know, well, I guess she's at the point where she doesn't even try to object anymore.
Yeah, basically. Remember when she used to say no and he used to ignore her? Yeah, that doesn't even happen anymore. Yeah.
Does your partner accept you changing your mind?
Uh,
Does your partner respect your wishes if you want to end the relationship?
I think we've established.
If you have answered no to any of these questions, you could be in an abusive relationship. We answered no to all but one of them. There's a link at the bottom of the page directing me to a live chat to someone who can help me.
We need to hook Mercy up with this chat.
Oh my god. That was from a UK, like, actual domestic violence site. I mean, these are the questions from Dr. Phil. Does your partner isolate you from friends, family members, or supporters?
Oh, hey. Hi, Adam.
Embarrass you with put-downs? Well, no, I guess he doesn't do that so much.
No.
Look or act in ways that scare you.
No, but it doesn't count if she finds the scariness hot.
Control what you do, who you see or talk to. dominate all decisions. Oh, my God. Deny or downplay abuse or try to blame you for provoking it.
Oh, my God. Mercy does that herself.
I know. Yeah. She's been so well conditioned.
He's like, oh, my God. I looked him in the face and I told him no. I guess I should crawl on my belly to his side now.
Does he destroy your property? Well, it just so happened that her property was destroyed.
Yeah, it was coincidental.
And then it gets down to, does he threaten to kill you? But I guess it's not at that point yet, but that's really depressing. That's like half of those again.
That's when Mercy tries to leave.
Or he says he'll kill himself.
Oh, God. He's totally that type, too.
Yeah.
He's so vulnerable.
He threatened to kill Jesse. Oh, my God. This is all so depressing.
I think the worst part of it, though, is that this is one of those series that gets held up as like, oh, you want something good in urban fantasy, you go to the Mercy Thompson series.
Well, it wouldn't matter if it was considered on par with the Farting Dog series. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's reading that, except us. Nobody's reading that, but everyone is like, oh, you have to read Mercy Thompson.
Exactly. Like, the problem is that it's not acknowledged as being, like, a problematic series. It's the go-to recommendation.
Oh, I know. Remember the reactions on Fangs?
Yeah.
For the fact that they dared to criticize this book at all?
Yep.
I normally agree with you, but now you're talking about a book I like.
How dare you talk critically about this series that everybody somehow agrees is good.
But yeah, the people were so upset that anyone would dare to say anything other than glowing, wonderful, flowery things about the series. Like, you mad?
It's just like the worst part about seeing this book come out was all of the like instant reactions, even without reading the book, that came from people being like, oh, Adam's ex-wife, she's gonna be such a bitch.
Oh, I can't wait for her to get what she deserves.
Yeah, like, dude, you haven't even read the book yet. What is wrong with you? Like,
because she's the ex, she's obviously a bitch.
I know, and that's exactly it. Just like by default, this idea that because she has been with the protagonist love interest, that she's automatically just a horrible person.
Oh my god. What? I'm still reading these domestic violence things. Seriously, do you feel afraid of your partner much of the time? Do you avoid certain topics out of fear of angering your partner?
Oh, God.
Do you believe that you deserve to be hurt or mistreated?
Only when I do something bad.
Only when I don't have the table at 5 o'clock.
Does your partner have a bad and unpredictable temper? Does he constantly check up on you? Does he control where you go or what you do?
Oh, my God.
Like, all of this, and there are like big banners. This is at helpguide.org. There are all these banners, like, you know, click here to get help. cycle of domestic abuse, which goes from abuse to guilt to excuses to normal behavior to fantasy to set up to abuse, and it goes around again. It's all just depressing. Wow, like general warning signs of domestic abuse. People who are being abused may seem afraid or anxious to please their partner. Go along with everything their partner says and does. Check in often with their partner to report where they are and what they're doing. Receive frequent phone calls from their partner. Talk about their partner's temper, jealousy, or possessiveness.
Ugh,
It's all just like, oh my god, there needs to be an intervention.
There's never going to be an intervention. It's just going to get worse.
But I think probably the most unsettling part of all of that is that then you go to Goodreads and they're all just people going on about how much they love Adam.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I just love Adam. He's so dreamy. God, I can't wait till I have a guy that basically holds me hostage. I don't want to be with a guy, you know, voluntarily.
if he doesn't, like, constantly chase me down and threaten other people who get within the vicinity of me, then I don't want it. I love how Briggs isn't content to just be horrible on one axis, though. I mean, she's got the whole, like, misogyny going on. But she also had to throw in the random Spanish gangster dudes.
Oh, God.
who were all up on Adam, like, hey, gringos, we're Mexican, and we're going to probably rob you.
We're Mexicans, and we're into crime. It's just like, oh, Briggs, you just couldn't help yourself. There was no reason for them to be out for a fight. Like, it was just randoms in that scene.
It wasn't even, I know, it had absolutely nothing to do with what was going on in the scene either. And then my other favorite line that was not misogyny related. Sorry, she said, when I'm nervous, I forget to say everything out loud. Is he psychic because he is a Native American? And then there she goes, as far as I know, Native Americans are no more psychic than anybody else. It's like, except that literally every Native American person that you've met in this entire series has indeed been magical.
It's been magic.
Literally every single one. So I really don't know where you got that high horse for that line, Briggs, but...
Oh my god. But that was just like, what? Have you read your own book?
I know, that's the best part. It's like, but did you read River Marked?
It was Everyone is Magic, the book.
Anyway.
Hey, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to cut this short, at least on my side. I'm sorry, but the baby's crying and, you know,
I'm food.
That was cool. Thanks for, you know, coming and hanging out.
Yeah, babies are way better than this.
We so need to do this again. Hopefully it's not over Mercy.
Oh, no, I'm sure we can find some other terrible book to be angry about.
Knowing us, yet.
Yes, again.
All right. Thanks for hanging out, Skank.
I'm talking to you.
See you later.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Now I just feel bad.
Like all of the anger has woken the baby.
Yeah, no, seriously, next Mercy won't be till 2016 because Dead Heat, the next Alpha and Omega, is spring 2015.
Thank God.
Yeah, well, we can psych ourselves up for that one. I'm assuming if that's the last one, she'll have to get knocked up.
Yeah, well, obviously, that's the next logical step.
Considering she's exhausted everything else, we can have Christy be all angry about it, too.
Well, they left off the end of it where they were, like, ambiguous as to whether or not Christy was going to continue to live in the area, so I wouldn't be surprised.
She'll just come along and be a bitch because that's what she does. Am I right?
That's what women do. No, and it's like, it wouldn't even be that bad if it were like balanced to the awesome cast of women in the series, but there are none.
You made her funny.
I guess she kind of tolerates Honey and she kind of tolerates Mary Jo.
Only because she has to.
Well, yeah. And Oriel was just, like, blatantly on Christy's side or whatever for the entire book. But, like, all of her friends, all of the people that she views favorably, all the dudes.
Yeah, because Mercy's not like the other girls, okay?
Yeah, this is seriously, like, Exceptional Woman Syndrome, the fucking series.
Not like the other girls, the story.
Yep.
Ugh, fucking off this series, honestly.
Yeah, unless the next one is the last one in the series, I'm probably going to skip until the last one in the series. Like, I'm curious to see how it ends.
angry.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how she gets the baby ending in there. You know, it's fucking Chekhov's womb, dude.
It is. We're going to bring that up forever. Chekhov's womb. I've got to fire that motherfucker off.
If you mention baby-making capabilities in the first book, it's bad storytelling unless it's used in the last one. Oh, the other thing I wanted to bring up was how her friend Hoel, I think is how she pronounced it, was magically connected to the Canary Islands because, he's from Texas, and a lot of people from the Canary Islands immigrated to Texas.
Therefore. I love this. The description for the Mercy Thompson series on Patricia Briggs' website is, Mercedes Thompson is a Volkswagen mechanic living in the Tri-Cities area of Washington. Her Native American heritage has gifted her with the ability to take the form of a coyote at will. Yeah, they're not all magic or anything, though, are they?
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about.
She's surrounded by far more powerful supernatural beings, including werewolves, vampires, and an assortment of fae. Well, I'm sorry, but being able to turn into an animal at will is a pretty fucking handy superpower. Get over yourself, Mercy.
I know. Remember how she used to see ghosts, too, and we just kind of forgot about that?
Shut up. The ghosts can hear you. Mercy, you never visit anymore.
It used to be something that, like, she did to help her solve shit or something, and now she's like, what?
You remember when she actually did shit? No. Am I right?
No. No, and, like, how every single, like, description of Mercy doing anything now talks about her drawing on Adam's powers. So, like, she really isn't even trying to be subtle about it anymore. She's literally drawing on Adam's authority.
That's the only way anyone will listen to her or look at her or pay attention to her or fucking do anything is if she uses Adam's power.
It's like just Adam's authority.
Well, Adam has an endless bag of dickishness, so you may as well draw on it. Like, fuck, it's overflowing, dude.
Oh, this fucking series. This is your fault, by the way. This is still your fault.
Everything's my fault.
No, let me explain why it's your fault. Because it's your fault even more than you know. So, like, when we picked up the series, it was because back when we were on LiveJournal, like, a million years ago, I remember reading you talking about the books, and you were like, Mercy. And I remember, I guess I just mentally edited out the parts where you got progressively angrier about it, because I was like, this one, Shuri likes this one, we should totally read this.
I did like the first one, but in my defense, that was before it was a genre.
So, in conclusion...
It is my fault.
It is your fault. Not a lady in waiting to a virgin queen. Look at that stupid girl. She's been to bad things that you've never seen. Look at that stupid girl. It doesn't matter if she dyes her hair. All the color of the shoes she wears. She's the worst thing in this world. Well, look at that stupid girl.
Crack are you on?
Nothing good accuracy. Enough, apparently.
Blur. What's that? Fucking wolves. I don't know.
Wolves. Yes, it's like, it's in nature. This is how wolves are in nature, man. No. Have you ever? Have you ever read anything related to wolves? Because no.
Because you are giving them such an MRA name they don't fucking deserve.
Poor wolves. There are probably wolves all around the world striking at their portrayal in fucking bad urban fantasy werewolf books.
Yeah, wolves, we don't actually rape, you know. Yeah. Love wolves. Yeah. We don't actually rape. Women actually do shit. Find wolves.
Don't use us as an excuse for your bullshit, misogynistic world setups. Thanks, wolves.
like just scrawled with their paws. I still like the idea of Adam eating everyone's faces off and then using the fire engine.
He's all mad about it too. He's like, oh, I have to do everything.
This is your fault, Mercy.
as he holds the hose in his teeth.
Yeah. Are you wearing the shirt with my name on it? Yes, Adam, yes. Okay.
Yeah, the wedding ring, the dog tags, not enough. Gotta have the shirt,
I'm
too.
I'm surprised she doesn't have Adam tattooed all over her fucking skin.
She probably should, let's be honest.
I don't understand why it has to be, like, she has to have these physical markings. If she's his mate and they all kind of know that, why all of the token shit on the outside if she's made it to him and it's magic?
Just in case somebody fucking forgets. They can look at her shirt and be reminded, Adam's property. Do not touch.
Wolves even read.